Bitcoin should be understood by many people here. So if people need to understand Bitcoin, it need to be usable. They need to, use it in their daily life, like buying bread with it, like buying data with it. So that's the real point. I'm not winning anything doing that, because anyone don't pay me anything for the work. So just because of my passion, since I discovered Bitcoin, I will become every day more passionate and try my best to let more people enter in it.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We are here today with the one and only Loic Casamoto, who is based in Benin, our first guest from Benin, which is super exciting. Loic is a Renaissance man, wears many hats, like many of our guests, like many of the Renaissance men and women that we have on this podcast. So Benin is based in West Africa. In Benin, Loic works as a UX UI developer. He also educates people about Bitcoin. From what I understand and what I read, Loic, please correct me if I'm wrong, you also put on a conference called Bitcoin Mastermind or BTC Mastermind.
Sure.
Excellent. He was the first person to run a node in Benin, which I think is a very cool thing. He advertises that on his X page or his X profile. He does many things. He writes articles, and he does this all, which is really amazing, predominantly in French, but in English and in French. I was a former language professor, so I'm always amazed by people who have such fluidity going between different languages the way that you do. And so let me hand it over from there. Please fill in any gaps, let the audience know what I might have missed there, and tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you, Frank. I want to say really thank you, and I'm full of beans being on your podcast today. I'm Loic Casamoto. Casamoto is just a tribute I'm paying to Satoshi Nakamoto for creating Bitcoin. So my real name is Loic Casa. So I just playing words with my name. So Bitcoiner since let's say 5 years and Benin, and trying to orange pill more people through many activities and many other stuff, like developing solution to let people buy Bitcoin. I think we're gonna come across all of this. So that's all. Let's say like this.
perfect. So
I just wanted to let you know that English is not our official language here. So I'm going in English by learning it by myself. So I'm not so fluent as native speaker, but I think we can go.
Perfect. Nice. So I want to touch on something you just said there and tie it into another question that I had. So you said you're trying to orange pill as many people as possible. So I want to sort of combine that with why is Bitcoin helpful to the people of Benin? So if you could give us a little bit of a backdrop, an economic backdrop on what things look like in the country. You can go into even the history a little bit. You can hold off on maybe talking about, or if you want to, you can get into the CFA franc. I have another question about that. But please just give us an idea of why Bitcoin would be useful to the people of Benin.
Okay, thank you for the question. I think everyone here today have to know that Benin is West African country. We are near Nigeria, not far from. We share same brother at the way, and not far from Togo, Niger, and Burkina. And so we are French-speaking country, and we use SOF, that is Franc CFA. There is two Franc CFA in Africa, the ZAF one and the SOF one. We here in Benin, we use SOF, that's West African CFA. The Cameroonians who do I know in Cameroon? I think I know Bitcoin Surface. They are used ZAF, that is, Central Africa, Franc CFA. Okay, that's the meaning. So in Africa, there is 8 countries using SOF, that is Franc CFA. It is Benin, Burkina Faso, Mali, Senegal, Niger, Togo, and Guinea-Bissau. And I do forgot, Ivory Coast. We are the country who use French CFA here. And the main thing we have to know about it is that we are not the country who printing this money. Money comes from France. So France CFA is printing from French Treasury. And this is, I mean, a big problem we need to solve. As we are going to use money, at least we need to be printing it by ourselves. But it's come from France. This is a big problem. And Bitcoin comes like, I mean, a solution for this problem. So that's what I'm doing my best to, I mean, introduce many people to Bitcoin, to let them and understand what is the real economic situation in our country. You know, we are facing many troubles, but people will not ever be angry with that. It's like they don't know the problem are there. If not, you telling the problem to them, they will be like, no, I'm not facing this problem. You know, so.
That's a great point. And I actually spoke about this with the Bitcoin Sophist, as you mentioned, in Cameroon. We had him on a few episodes ago. Something that I've noticed is that money is a very difficult thing to understand. And when most people think about money, they think about the way it's distributed, meaning do I want to live in a capitalist or market economy, more of a communist economy? And that comes down to the distribution of money, right? So who gets what, how high are taxes, who's in charge of the distribution of money, all of this stuff. Those are questions that are very difficult to answer, and they vary from person to person who wants what done with their money and whatever. But the question with Bitcoin is one that regards the nature of money, and that's different than the distribution of money. So when you're talking with people, I'm curious, what is it like to try to educate them? Certain people, even here, I live in New York City, it's very difficult to talk with people about the nature of it because it's such an abstract concept on certain levels that it's difficult to figure out sort of what someone's framework is and then how to approach it and to explain what this thing is, what Bitcoin is, and how it solves this problem. So what has your experience been like in approaching that situation?
I think here, people don't really understand what is Bitcoin. There are many crypto guys in Benin. They are just interested in make some profit by buying maybe some cryptos. And at the end, they just get out with the profit and make life. And the real problem is you need to figure out what people going through and then present to these people how Bitcoin can help them. Like here, I'm working with my team to let many restaurants accept Bitcoin. So I have to show this restaurant how Bitcoin is helpful to them. Like if they accept Bitcoin today, what would be the benefit for them? They are clear, open to new market. We call something, I do forget the name, the word that to describe it. I think, how do we call it in English? Inflation, sure, that's it. So inflation exists here, but people don't know really about it, or people don't understand what is it. Here in Benin, for example, you can meet people who tell you that 5 years ago, we used maybe 100 sof to buy bread, but today we need to use more. And they will tell you that bread become maybe more expensive, but not. It's just our money that lose value. So you have to let people understand that. And this is the way you can, I mean, touch every people with the problem they are facing and let them know that how Bitcoin can be, solution for them.
Understood. That makes a lot of sense. Another thing that comes to mind when you take on this role of showing a restaurant how to do something or this or that, I imagine that a lot of this work to some degree is unpaid. So it takes a lot of personal effort and brain power from you, emotional power, because I'm sure it's not like you just show people something once and then they're like, oh, I got it. Perfect. No questions. They always have questions. So then you become the point person. So how do you deal with that? It's a lot of work and a lot of sharing information for not a lot of reimbursement, at least up front. So what is your sort of strategy there?
I won't lie, it's so difficult for me to handle all of these things. That's why I'm working with a team. We are three in the team. Mm. Alphonse, I think you're gonna see him on Twitter. Maybe you met him at BitcoinConf at Ghana. And Samadou, who is the third one. So three together, we're trying to help people understand what is it. And if they get questions, if I'm not available, Alphonse will be available to give them answers, or the third one will be available to give the answer. Apart from that, all restaurants we help to accept Bitcoin, we have meeting with them at least 3 months after to check how things going and get a question, give them answers, and try to help them, manage the wallet. And so on.
Okay. It's great that you have a team and everything else, but I'm sort of curious, is there any sort of financial reimbursement for you in doing this sort of process, or is it just simply because you're looking to spread knowledge and information about Bitcoin?
I'm in the process, Bitcoin should be understood by many people here. So if people need to understand Bitcoin, it need to be usable. They need to, use it in their daily life, buying bread with it, like buying data with it. So that's the real point. I'm not winning anything doing that, because anyone don't pay me anything for the work. Mm. Just because of my passion. Since I discovered Bitcoin, I will become every day more passionate and try my best to let more people enter in it.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. The only reason I ask is because I think there's a lot of people in this space that do a lot of work and they don't get paid for it. And sometimes it's underappreciated. And, we all need to eat. We need to buy bread. So, I'm always curious as to how people sustain themselves when they do spend so much of their time, trying to explain this to people without charging for it or anything else. But I do think that that's important. So, I do think it's obviously important to educate people. Is there any sort of semblance of like a circular economy developing in Benin, like what we see in Bitcoin Beach or Bitcoin Nakasi or Bitcoin Kampala, places where people are sort of, even on a smaller level, maybe a few stores or some people are using Bitcoin amongst themselves as a currency?
I won't say it look like Bitcoin, Ekazi or other thing also, but sure, there is. I think there is right now free restaurants in Benin that accept Bitcoin, and other people that accept Bitcoin through online services. We have here people selling computers. They are accepting Bitcoin through their website. We help them doing that. And it's possible like buying data with Bitcoin here. So it is a Bitcoin circular economy growing. Yep. And I think maybe at the end of this year, we plan to Orange Pill on board, 12 at least, to 12 restaurants accepting Bitcoin. So that will be amazing and make the list be growing. So that's the plan we are making for this part. Helping Bitcoin, help people accept Bitcoin. And we have other plans. Maybe we go come across all of these plans when we're going discussing again.
Cool. That's great to hear. Another question, this is something I've heard from a bunch of people, is that Bitcoin adoption rates are actually lower in Francophone-speaking countries in Africa versus English-speaking countries, or Francophone countries versus English-speaking countries, so French-speaking versus English. Why do you think this is the case? Do you think it's a language barrier where most of the materials are in English, or is there something more broadly happening here?
Sure, that is the first point. I think it's a language barrier because any stuff meet in the Bitcoin space will be in English. If you're going on Twitter right now and try to find something about Bitcoin, sure, you'll find more people talking about it in English, and same thing on YouTube, same thing on any platform else, and many materials to educate people still in be in English. And now, right now, we're here trying to translate some materials in French, or trying to create some materials in French to let more people enter. And also in French-speaking country, you can notice that people are not really open-minded like they are in English countries. So that's also another point. People here are more like, we don't need new things that already work, let's do with it.
Interesting. Do you think that, so that's a mentality, why is that mentality there? I'm curious, and what does it have to do with language? Yeah.
Exactly. Mentality, language, stuff, barriers. That's the really point that lets people in French-speaking country back from those who speak English. And on this point, we here like trying to host like Bitcoin events, as you were saying at the beginning, that we call Bitcoin Mastermind. We host it every year for 3 days, like Afro Bitcoin Conf. And we started before Afro Bitcoin Conf. We started since 2021. And people who speak French can come from Togo, from Burkina Faso, from Benin, and from other countries. The only limit is that they need to speak French, because we don't doing the conference in English. So that's a way we find to make the things more growing here also.
That's amazing. That's really cool. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because it's I definitely have a blind spot as someone who's a native English speaker to the amount of material where you know, you point someone and just say, go read this or go read that. And just the fact that these things are not really translated into a lot of other languages, a lot of the materials, it's definitely a disadvantage for people who don't speak English, for sure. So the work you do is incredibly important. I want to go back to the CFA Franc. So I've heard people pronounce this differently. I want to go back just to give you, so that you can maybe give the audience a bit of an overview of what it is. So what is the CFA Franc? So I'll leave it there, but also include, I'm curious, like, are people's, as you talk about it, if you could touch on, are people in countries that use CFA franc, the money, are they starting to recognize that maybe France shouldn't be controlling their money? And even if they don't agree with Bitcoin, do they think more along the lines of at least like Benin should be in charge of its own money?
Sure. I do think more people come across and really noticing that the money is not Franc CFA, is not controlled by Benin, but by France. And more people are not agree with that. They want at least to let Benin control his own money. But I think they do not understand the history behind all of these things. They have to know that, like, before France started controlling our money, we signed some papers. We accept it. So it cannot be change so easily like that. We need to follow a process and make many things before it be done. So many people are my English is not so
good. No, it's
so
great. It's excellent.
I need to think for some words before pronouncing them.
So that's like, okay.
Frustrated about the situation and wanted to change. And among those people, there are many that starting understanding and Bitcoin and find it as solution, as how do we say? so sorry.
No, it's great. You're doing great. Yeah.
And so I was saying, many people are frustrated about the situation and want it to be changed. So for those who come across Bitcoin, they decided to maybe understand what is it and how they can use it, but to send money to, their parents or other people. Because we have to know that many of Africans are in Europe and have to send money to the people in Africa. And using the fiat system don't allow them to send what they want to send. Like they send maybe $1,000 and people here will not never get this amount. This is a problem. And they are looking for solution. They are looking for an alternative. And then when they discover Bitcoin, maybe they need to learn more about it before starting using it. Or maybe some just decided to use it like an alternative without knowing about it. And these are some points that we still working on to let more people understand what is it, how to use it, and how to manage it as so easy as possible.
Okay. What I've noticed lately, especially with high fees on the Bitcoin base chain, is that it's very difficult to teach someone who's new to Bitcoin to use a non-custodial Lightning wallet. So a wallet, Lightning, for people who don't know, it's the payments layer on top of the Bitcoin network. So a layer two built on top of Bitcoin. But to get money onto Lightning, to at least in a non-custodial wallet, a wallet to which you own the keys to the Bitcoin, it's a little bit challenging because fees on the base layer of Bitcoin are quite hard. So what are you doing right now to sort of get people to work around that? Are you recommending custodial Lightning wallets like Blink or Wallet of Satoshi? Or are you just saying, look, it's going to hurt a little bit, but you're going to have to do this one base chain transaction to open up a node in something like Phoenix Wallet or open up a channel? What has your strategy been given the current high fee situation on Bitcoin?
We're going step by step. Firstly, we just introduce people to custodial wallet they have to use, like Wallet of Satoshi or Blink, that is doing a good job since a while. And when we notice people really understand it, we're trying to let them go into non-custodial wallet right now, like Phoenix, as we were saying. But at this stage, let's say more people using custodial wallets like Blink, Wallet of Satoshi. And we here also hosted a solution we call Flash. Flash is a solution that let people buy Bitcoin, with the amount they want. Like they can buy 100 franc CFA Bitcoin, so easy as possible. And we use LN, Lightning Network, to let people buy this, penny. And that's the way we pronounce it in English. I do.
Okay.
That's correct.
Can you repeat the words?
I was saying that we just let people buy, a few amounts of dollars, like penny.
Pennies. Yeah, that's correct. That's what I thought you said. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So very, very small amount. So I actually wanted to ask you about this. So Flash is something, is it something that you actually developed? Did you develop the UX or UI for it?
Sure. It's something we developed here with my team, cool. Like I was saying. And it is online. People can buy it. But just people from Africa, like Benin, Togo, and I think people from Côte d'Ivoire also can use it. Not everyone, because we are not, we do not have all local payment established on the platform. But we still working to let more countries from Africa enter in it by introducing the local currency on the website. But it's already working, and people in Benin use it to buy Bitcoin when they want, as they want, for the amount they want. We do not need to pay higher fees to transact through LN. So it really make the work so easier for us and for people.
That's great. So is it like, could I compare it to maybe Azteco? Would it be something like that?
Compared to what?
Do you know Azteco? A-Z-T-E-C-O?
I know Azteco.
Yeah.
No, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
It's like an exchange, but not an exchange. People have just to buy Bitcoin from there or selling their Bitcoin, but not by the same way they're using another exchange, like, I mean, Binance or all. There is no other product apart from Bitcoin, just Bitcoin and Bitcoin Lightning. That's the only way we transact.
So it's a Bitcoin only, Lightning only exchange.
Sure, exactly.
And people can transfer small amounts of their money, their fiat currency, to buy Bitcoin on Lightning. So they would have to already have a Lightning wallet set up. Like if it were non-custodial to use something like this, they wouldn't be able to. Okay, that's super interesting. That's awesome. I feel like I'm just starting to hear a little bit more about like Bitcoin only. I'm sorry, Lightning only Bitcoin ATMs and things like this, where you're just getting the money on Lightning. And I think we're going to need more of that, especially because I don't think the ordinals and the high fees are going away anytime soon. So we're going to need ways where people don't lose a chunk of their initial investment just trying to get money off of the base chain or onto the base chain. They're just going to have to need to use it on Lightning. So that's amazing that you're developing a solution for that. My pleasure. You're a software developer by trade, and that's your training, right?
I'm US UI.
UX UI. So how did you actually create? I'm always fascinated by this. So how did you actually create an exchange? That seems like a very intensive job to do. That's a very difficult thing to accomplish.
Well, as I was saying, we were three in the team. So two others are developers. So they got the knowledge how to develop the website. And that the way I'm just the one who designing the website. And they will develop it. And that's how we have developed the solution and still maintaining it. By working on it every day to let more people use it as easily as possible. Because, if we get more people on the website at the same time, we can have some crush, we can have some bug, and we do need to fix it. And so this take a lot of time because my guys are not maybe available at every time. And we need to wait maybe everyone meet before starting to fix the problem. And this takes maybe a lot of time for us. But we still improve the website to let more people use it at the same time and not get any burgers. So.
Cool. That's what you're saying is super. It's a super important part to this process. A lot of people who are relatively sort of starting out, trying to make their mark or create their own thing, whether it's educational materials or what I'm doing with a podcast or creating software, it takes a while to get started. And there's a lot of work working out the different bugs, working out the difficulties. It's a lot of work behind the scenes that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. But I'm curious, with everything that you're working on, where do you feel like you've gained the most traction, which means like, where have you had the most success so far? And, what has worked and how has that motivated to, how has that motivated you to sort of keep you moving forward?
I think for all solution we're trying to build, we're so happy for all of that, like Bitcoin Mastermind, that is the event. At the first hosting, we have more than 100 people who were there. And that was so amazing to see two more people at our first Bitcoin event in Benin. That bring all people from French-speaking country together. So this is things like make us really happy and let us know that there is more to do. We can, reach more people. So we will try to improve the conference for the next year. And for the next year, we have more than 100 person attend the conference too. And that let us be so grateful for the experience. Yeah. And we decided to repeat it every year. But like last year, we were not able to host the event because in Benin, there was a bit difficult situation that helped, last year. About Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, our government decided to impeach everyone to talk about Bitcoin. If you advertise about it or talk about it anywhere, you probably gonna have problems. So because of that, people were like fear of what can be going on if we were on the conference, and we decided to not do it last year. But things is more cool right now, and we think this year we're going to host the third edition for the event in Benin, and we really hope gonna have more people than last 2 years, and gonna have more speakers. Like we met more people at Afro Bitcoin Conf that speak French, and we talked them about Bitcoin Conf. Bitcoin Mastermind that we host in Benin, and we finger crossed, hoping they will be there to support us. Cool. And to let everyone know what you are doing as job. For Flash, for example, this is really, really difficult because we did not make money with the solution. We did not make money, but we...
You don't charge, there's no fee or anything like that for the procedure?
Well, sure, there is fees, like 1 to 2% for fees. But as we still doing work, as we still maintaining the website online, anything also about all of this, take all of this, money we make to let maintain the solution live. So at the end, we do not make money with Flash, but when we come across all transactions we see on the website, it give us more faith for what can be in the future, because yep. Many people using it. Like every day we can have at least 50 transactions just from people from Benin, 50 wow. At least. And sometimes we facing a problem like liquidity problems. We do not have maybe Bitcoin to give to people when they send us fiat, or we do not have fiat to send them when they send us Bitcoin. So this is a big problem we are facing right now with Flash, and we're trying to fix it. As we were at Afro Bitcoin Conf, we met Costato, the one who built Machankura, mm-hmm. and we talk a lot. He gave us really interesting resources to use to improve the services, and we're still learning, we're still studying all these resources he gives to us to try to make balance between things and to let the website work automatically as possible.
Yeah.
So that's the way we are going through all the solution we are building right now.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, KG for Machankura. He was on the podcast a few episodes ago, and I'm amazed at not only how intelligent he is, but how willing he is to share his information and to help other people. What I want people to take away, people listening to this, is there's people like Loic, like I've said this a few times already in this conversation, but they're doing a lot of work for not a lot of money. There's not a lot of reimbursement at these points. We hope that things pop off and, something that you're working on makes you plenty of money and you all that stuff. But, it's really important that, we support these people, we support each other, because this stuff is not easy, and on top of that, you just pointed out a lot of this stuff can be torn down very easily when a government starts instilling fear, like you can't use this or whatever. And that can be very, very disheartening, because I'm going to quote something that KG said. He said, I don't know why you guys worry about Elizabeth Warren and Gary Gensler and whatever and all these people so much. He's like, if they don't like Bitcoin, they should offer something better. They should bring a better product to market. I agree philosophically, but in practice, we know that people who hold power can very easily stop things that potentially take some of their power away. And so I think all of us in this space are constantly dealing with this tension of, well, what if the powers that be just decide to get very, very aggressive in trying to stop this? And it would be very, very disheartening, of course. But I think the lesson to be learned here, what Loic is saying today, what people like Loic are doing, we're you know, building despite the fear, right? Doing something hopefully from a place of hope and positivity versus a place of, oh no, we shouldn't do this. We should just accept the old way that things work or things don't work because we're afraid. So I think that that's a really big takeaway today for whoever's listening. A lot of people in this space are doing this, knowing how much they could possibly lose at the snap of someone's fingers. And they're doing it anyway because they believe in it. So I commend you for that. I'm sorry about that rant, but I think it's important people understand this sort of dynamic of what you do. I'm curious, what did change with the government? Why did they change their stance, or why are things now a little bit more cool?
Before we are not allowed to, talk about Bitcoin anymore, there were many scams that just use crypto to scam people.
Got it.
Like giving away more than millions of franc CFA here. People invest in business thinking they are investing in crypto or investing in Bitcoin, you know, and so those people are just using Bitcoin to give money away from the others. And that was the starting of the problem. And
got it.
The government decided to protect, users, to protect, the population. That's why they take like we need to stop people doing that. So if anyone talk about Bitcoin or crypto at anywhere, we're going to arrest them. And the person will be in charge of all things that we hear about him and things like that. So that is really to make people fear and to, stop people scamming each other. That was why they decided to do things like that. But since a while, it looked like the government is more open to understand what is Bitcoin and how it can help people. So they launched an event that was about cryptocurrencies and invite many people from university tutors to students to talk about Bitcoin. And after that, I was also invited on the national TV show to talk about Bitcoin. So that was the thing, that was things that help us right now come on the situation more cool than it was last year.
Okay, that's amazing. Congratulations. And I think what you seem to be getting at is differentiating between Bitcoin and crypto, which I think is really, really important. I understand the meme, the Bitcoin is not crypto, but I think it's technically wrong. It is, and we sort of have to differentiate as a result of that, meaning you can buy Bitcoin on the same exchange like Binance that you can buy every other crypto asset on. So you have to sort of acknowledge that Bitcoin is crypto, but it's a different entity within that space, that it's something completely different, that it's the only one that is actual money, all of this sort of stuff. So I think that there's a lot of education to be done. And I think some of the challenge sometimes is when you're in this space, when you're very deep in it, you think that everybody already understands this, but then you realize that many people do not understand this. So you have to sort of go back to basics. Is there anything else you want to add about what you're working on? Any message you want to send to the audience? Any sort of thoughts that you want to share?
I just want to say thank you for inviting me on your podcast. Is a great experience for me. I think you are the first one inviting me on an English podcast. So I was like going to French podcasts since a while, like How to Bitcoin FR, and those I'm not going to maybe list right now. So thank you for doing that.
My
and
pleasure.
I want to say we need here in Benin more support from French speaking country produce some content in French that can let people understand really what is Bitcoin. Because if people here in French-speaking country needs to go in searching information in English, it will be really difficult for them to enter in the Bitcoin space. And that is a thing that we are going to try to work about. And we get a support from Découvre Bitcoin. I don't know if you hear about him.
No, please tell us. Yeah.
Découvre Bitcoin is he's doing a great job from French country. He's from France and help El Salvador to train people about Bitcoin, how to accept it. And I think last year, they worked with the government from Salvador to teach more people about development on Bitcoin. So we are discussing with them since a while to get some materials they use in French, and that we can also use here to let more people understand what is Bitcoin as easily as possible. So yep. I want to shout out to him for the job. And that's the point. That's all.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you for being our first guest from Benin. Thank you for doing this in English. I think sometimes native English speakers take for granted how much content we have and everything else. And I think that you offered some really good perspective on, in a way, how lucky we are, how privileged we are to have so much of this content originally written in English. I think the work you do is amazing. I think your voice, I'm glad to have it be a part of the conversation in English so people can hear what you're doing. If by chance you're listening to this and you also speak French, either reach out to me or reach out to Loic to, let him know if you want to help translate materials, contribute in some way. That as a final message, people like Loic, most of the people I interview on this podcast, they could always use some level of support, even if it's a pat on the back. They're doing a lot of work. They're doing it for not a lot of money. It comes from a good place, from their heart. It's very passion driven. In whatever ways you could sort of raise their voices up or give them a hand, please do so. I think you'll find it rewarding. I'm going to leave it at that. Loic, thank you for joining us today. You are a super cool guy. I'm super happy that we got to meet in person. I hope that it happens again this year somewhere else on the continent in Africa. I hope to one day, I'm going to have to work on my French if I try to ever attend your conference, but I would love to see this firsthand, what you're doing. I'm amazed by what you're doing. Please keep up all the amazing work and we will talk soon.
Hope so. Thank you, Frank. And let's see you soon.
Sounds good. All right. Take it easy. We'll talk soon, everybody.